45, and I didn't study this all out. I know that this is one of those psalms that was written using all of the Jewish vowels, the letters of the Jewish, the Hebrew alphabet. Each verse or each portion starts with a letter from the Hebrew alphabet. And I don't know all those words, and I'm not even going to begin to try to bring that portion of this out. I want to bring you the English version, which is the one that we kind of know a little bit about, correct? And just read a few verses to you, maybe about 9-10 verses, and then we'll just kind of bring a few things, a few thoughts, a few points from this. But this is one of David's final, well, it's actually the conclusion to his 75 songs that's recorded here in the book of Psalms. And you know that the book of Psalms is a book of songs. It's what it is. It's songs that they sang. And we can't begin to sing them. We don't know the tune. We don't know the rhythm, the beat to get it correct. We couldn't sing them. We don't have to know the... And so for us to try to sing these, sometimes we have some of these songs we do sing because we have put them to music. And they are very beautiful songs, but probably nothing like they would have sang them when they were singing them back in their day. I mean, they had a certain way to do things that we don't know. We don't know. Many people do, but we don't know. But when David's writing this particular song, he is speaking about the God of eternity and the God that he really knows. He knew him intimately. We know that David was a man after God's own heart. And that's hard to imagine how David could be a man after God's own heart. I know he was a shepherd boy. He was the youngest, or next to the youngest of one family. And how could he be a man after God's heart? He was a warrior. He was an adulterer. He did a lot of things he shouldn't do in his life, but yet God said, "This man's after my heart. This is somebody I really love. There's something about this guy." And I guess it's because he was a worshiper. And he also would, and something else, if you'll read even some, one of his songs, Psalm 51, he acknowledges his sinfulness. He was quick to acknowledge his wrong. Now, one portion of his life, he got a little out there and committed adultery, and God had to do some things to bring him back to earth, so to speak. But once he realized that God was watching, I mean, once again, come back to his senses, his spiritual senses, he immediately wrote that song and talked about how merciful God was and how he would tell people about God's mercy. And if you want to read that, it's a very beautiful song where he wrote that song in Psalm 51. It was a song of repentance and recognizing God's sovereignty. And so, but here he is at the end of his time of penning songs, and it's a very beautiful song that he's wrote, and it's very rich in content, and it's called his final Hallel. And so this is his final song in a group of songs here, of the praise of David the king. And it says this in verse 1, "I will extol my God, O king, you, my God, O king, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised." We sang that song, "Great is the Lord," and great, I can't even do it now. It's an old one we used to do all the time. And his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power." In case you hadn't, I'm going to read it all, the whole chapter, Brother Robbie, in case. "And to make known the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season, and you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. We bless you today, Lord, and we praise you. We honor you and we glorify you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy that endures forever. You are greatly to be praised, and your greatness is unsearchable. Now bless our lips today, Lord, our lips of clay, that we'll bring forth a word that is fitting and a word that would be edifying to this congregation in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. I was going to say, oh me. Amen. Isn't it good to be in God's house today? And to be able to gather together with a group of believers such as we are. You're a great group of people. I don't tell you that often enough. My wife and I will sit down usually on Sunday afternoons and we'll sometimes rehash. I don't know. We'll kind of look back over the day, and normally we don't go over a lot of things, but we'll usually say, this has been a good day. And it's a good day because we pastor a group of people who love God. And a group of people who are accepting and gracious towards us and loving towards us. And so it makes for a good day when we come together with people of like precious faith, people who love God like we love God, who come together to worship God. I know we don't always shout and run the aisles. And I know sometimes we're a quieter group of people than some of us would like at times. But we're a group of people who have developed our worship style over the years, and we come together to worship him. We're not afraid to worship him in spirit and truth, are we? That's how we're supposed to worship him. We're not afraid to, so to speak, let our hair down every now and then and just get out there and just dance a hole in the rug. That doesn't bother. We're Pentecostal, so every now and again something like that takes place in our church. But we are a group of people, regardless of how we worship, we are a group of people who love God, and we love to worship God, and we do it the best of our ability in spirit and in truth. For such as they that worship God, they must worship him in spirit and in truth. But the Bible says here, and David said, I will extol, or I will bless, I will praise the Lord. Praise you, my God, oh my King. I will bless your name forever and ever. He says, I'm going to praise you, Lord, forever and forever. It doesn't matter what my circumstance might be. It doesn't matter whether I feel like it today or not. Even in the middle of sickness, I can still say, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your healing. I don't feel it right now, but thank you, Lord, that the healing is on the way. Thank you, Lord, that the blessing that maketh rich and adds no sorrow to it is on its way down the road to my house. Thank you, Lord, that although I don't have everything I need, I've got everything I don't have everything I want. I have everything I need. I thank you, Lord, that you have sustained me every time there's been a trial. You've been there. Come on now. David went through a lot of things in his lifetime. He slew lions and bears. He fought giants, and he ran from kings, and he made alliances with the enemy, and he did a lot of things in his lifetime, but he always kept one focus in his mind, and that was that he served Jehovah God, and that Jehovah God was going to take care of him. and he would put him first in everything he did. I know he got crossways with God every now and again. I know that he made some mistakes to us that seemed like they could be unforgivable. And I tell you, that's some place we sometimes lack in the church is that people make some mistakes and we immediately draw judgment. And we sometimes want to say, well, they went over the dark edge now. They're over the edge now. They can't be forgiven. I want to tell you something today, ladies and gentlemen. God's mercy is endures forever, and his greatness is good forever. And I'm going to praise him, and I'm going to thank him for all he's done in my life. But you need to understand, some people haven't went too far. They've got off into the flesh, and they need to be brought back in. They need to be like the prodigal son, and we need to be watching for them to come home. God's watching for them to come home. He's waiting for them to come back. And when they come back, he's going to say, take the robe off my back, put it on them. Take the ring off my finger and give it to them. Go get my best pair of shoes and put it on their feet. Go kill the fatted calf and let's have a party. That which was lost is found. They've come home. And we need to understand that sometime. I know there's people over the edge, and I know there's people doing some things they hadn't ought to do. But I tell you, church, I don't know why I got off on that. I just think sometime we're too quick to draw. We're too opinionated. We're too opinionated. And we push people away with our opinions. We need to base our opinion on the Word of God. If he says he'll forgive him, if he could forgive David, I don't know why he wouldn't forgive anybody. That doesn't mean you continue in sin. I love that Sunday school lesson this morning. I had to step out because it's going to get all over my sermon. And I didn't know that till I stepped in. They started reading them scriptures. I thought, oh, no. They're all over. They're going to preach it twice. The adult class is going to get it twice today. Anyway, we push that aside for a week or so. David said, I want to praise you, my God, my O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Do you not understand, church, from just that statement right there, that we probably, we should be praising God every day? That should be something that we make up our minds we're going to do. It's not something we get up and we do an opinion poll of the household or of our spirit that day. We get up with that on our mind. I'm going to praise God today. It doesn't matter what the day ahead looks like. It doesn't matter how the day ahead begins to develop. It doesn't matter what problems arise. It doesn't matter even what good things happen. I get up with my mind made up. We need to get up with our mind made up that we're going to praise God in the good and in the bad, on the mountaintop and in the valley. We're going to praise God. David got up with that attitude every day. He got up with a praise in his heart for God. And he says, I will praise you, O my God, O King, and bless your name forever. And then verse 3 says, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. His greatness is, you cannot find it. You can't find anything else as great as God is. Nothing else begins to compare with God. I know we try to, in our finite human minds, we try to find something that we can compare to God so that we can comprehend how great God is. But ladies and gentlemen, you cannot find anything on the face of this earth as grand as some of the things are that's on this earth. You cannot find anything as grand and as great as our God. His greatness is unsearchable, undefinable, unfathomable. You cannot figure out how great God is. He's a great God. And he deserves our praise. Isaiah 40, verse 28. It says this, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall fail and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Do you understand that you cannot search out, you never can find out how great God is. His ways are unsearchable. His greatness is unsearchable. You can't figure it out. But he says there, if you'll wait on him, you'll renew your strength. You may be down today. You may be just feeling terrible today about your situation. Things may just seem like they're just closing in around you. Seems like nothing's ever going to go your way again. And it seems like you're just weak and weary and just don't know what you're going to do. Well, I want you to know today that if you'll wait on him, our God neither faints and our God is not weary. He's not too weak to act on our behalf. He's not fatigued by the obstacles that's in front of him or in front of you, because there's nothing too big for our God, nothing too great for him to achieve, nothing so overwhelming that he can't overwhelm it. He's our God. He loves us dearly. He loves us dearly. In Romans 11, verse 33, it just kind of confirms it a little bit more. I think I got that marked here somewhere. Romans 11:33. It says, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. That's how great our God is. Nobody can figure out our God, but our God is on our side. There's an old song, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Where would I be? You see, we have God on our side, the God whose power, whose strength, whose wisdom is unsearchable and unknowing. Our God is a great God. Amen. Hallelujah. Our God is an awesome God. He rules from heaven above. He's our God. I don't know what you might be going through today. I don't know what you might face this year. We all face things. I was trying to think of some goal for this year, and man, Lord, I need some goals. I just kind of go into each year just like, well, whatever God brings, that's good, and whatever he does, that's okay. But I think sometimes we need to set some goals. But then I was thinking, Lord, last year, I mean, you know, and I'm thinking, Lord, what did you bring me through? And I'm thinking, Lord, I can't think of any catastrophe that I had to go through last year. You were so good to me that you protected me from bad things. I didn't have a rough year. Some people did, but I really don't. I can't remember how we didn't have a rough year last year. We had some obstacles. We had some things to overcome. We had some difficulties, but we didn't have anything that was just overwhelming last year. Now, I'm not prophesying that that's going to happen this year, but I'm just telling you, my God's a good God. My children are blessed. My grandchildren are blessed. My church is blessed. My church is doing well. The church, you know, all of you in the church, most of you are doing just pretty good. God has blessed you. Sure, you've all had obstacles and problems and things, but God was always right there. And we didn't suffer tragedy last year in our church. We didn't. We didn't suffer any tragedy in our church last year. Thank God for that. We didn't have to bury anybody last year. I don't think, did we? We didn't bury anybody this past year. I didn't have to do any funerals that I can remember. I'd have to go back and look at my records now. That's how good a year it's been. God's good. God's good. Some of you I know are facing some things. I want you to know, praise God. You're facing it, praise God. When it looks like you're going to be overwhelmed by the waves, praise God. Look to him, the author and finisher of your faith. Look to Jesus. Then verse 4. And then I'll probably close with this. I need to pray for some people. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. one generation shall declare. What's that mean, Pastor? Well, it means this. As we grow older, I'm a generation. There's generations all through this church. I should declare the greatness of God to my children and my children's children and to others around me. But you as individuals, family units, should be praising God and lifting Him up to your children. Telling them how good God is. Showing them the greatness of God in the way you live and the way you treat God. And the way you treat the things of God. And how you live your life. Showing the greatness of God. He's good. The Bible instructed the Old Testament, the Jews in the Old Testament, the Israelites, to instruct their children in the ways of God, to put it as frontless before their eyes, to tell about His goodness when they go out and when they come in, to constantly tell everybody about God and how good He is, and how gracious He is, how loving He is. My kids, when they were young, and I used to try to sing and still try every once in a while, but you know how that goes. But man, I loved the Henson family, and they were just my favorite singers. And man, the kids got sick of me. They got sick of it. No matter everywhere we went, and that was my way, I guess, of telling about the greatness of God. I'm going to say that today anyway. But when they were little, Denny and Melissa and Stephanie, even probably not as much, but you need a mic. Then I could hear it too. I'd to and from church and then get in the car. There wasn't a radio on. My wife don't like a radio for some reason or another. She don't like the noise, so I just make noise. And I still do it today. And even if I really get to thinking about God, I'll make up songs. I'll make them up. I made one up the other day here at the church. Couldn't tell you what it was. And I made one up here a few weeks ago, and I wish I'd wrote it down. It was pretty good. If I do say so myself, it actually rhymed and beat, and everything was good, and I didn't write it down. I forgot it. But I would sing. I would sing a Henson song or Charlie Feltner song or something like that, and that was my way of worship. And I just, do you remember that? They just said, why don't you shut up? They told me, Daddy, be quiet. Okay. I'd be quiet for a little bit, and I'd start another one. You know, might be high on. I mean, that's not them anyway. I couldn't even tell you what I sang now. It's just whatever was Henson, whatever was popular Henson at the time, that's what I was singing. And we got to lift up the name of Jesus and tell people how great our God is. And it should be evident in our daily living, our daily lives. Our love for God, our high esteem for our God, our praise for God should be evident in the way we live. Our actions and our deeds. Sometimes it's not, but it should always be there. Amen. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. I've got at least 15 people need prayer. And I don't want to just do a general prayer. I want us to come and gather together this morning. I'm going to read a scripture before we do in Mark 11. And it's a very familiar passage of scripture. We don't preach it much, but maybe we should preach it more than we do and talk about it. Mark 11, 23 and 24. Then Jesus looked around and said to His disciples, and that's not the one I want. I'm in Mark 10. No wonder it didn't look right. Mark 11, 24. Let's start with 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, when we're talking about this, we're talking about praying in God's will, asking for things in God's will, not just asking for this or that or the other thing, just something. We're praying in God's will. Today, we're praying for healing. I believe that's part of the atonement. So that's God's will, healing. Amen? So we're going to pray in God's will today. And believe, we're going to ask these things and believe that they shall come to pass. We're going to speak to some mountains. We're going to see them removed. Amen? Do you believe that? If you believe that, come and line up down here. We're going to pray for people. There's a whole list. We don't need any music right now. Let's just pray.